All right. So this week on Lion of Judah Synagogue, we will be continuing where we left off last week, which was talking about how King Saul got anointed, turned wicked, then King David got anointed, but Saul's still living wicked, but then King David is now playing the harp for him to control that wicked spirit. But then David has to go down and kill Goliath for King Saul, in front of King Saul, and then Saul really knows who it is. And then we're going to get to that in just a moment. They are all right, so we were saying that David killed Goliath, and by running out after him with a stick to where Goliath, I chuckled all week about when I said this last week, where he's like, what am I, a dog? You know, which he probably felt like at that moment, where he's like, what the heck is going on here? Sometimes you have those moments in life. The other night I had one of those moments where I had to question what was going on. And yeah, I just drank out of a water bottle that I got. It's not a water bottle. It's like a glass bottle that I got out of Israel the one time I visited there. It's the only thing I brought home because it's the only thing I really got besides the falafel. And the falafel was good, but then I ended up having one on the plane back too. So it was like I had two falafels. So it was like I got extra blessed. Anyways, sorry about that little tangent. I just wanted to throw that in that I have a bottle from Tel Aviv Airport. It's the only thing I brought back from Israel when I was there. Shaking my head. So, anyways, back to King David. So after Goliath gets hit with a big rock, all right, by David in a sling, even though David was carrying a stick out, a staff out. Then he dies. He gets his head cut off with a big old sword, which will come into play a little bit later. Oh, yeah, by the way, if you have never been to Lion of Judah Synagogue before, I just like to go off the cuff. So it's like I might miss some stuff. I'm going to try not to change stuff, obviously, but I just like to go by the Spirit. So we're just going to take a little spirit tour through this after Goliath gets his head cut off. And realize that this is kind of tricky territory because a lot of things happen in really fast succession. It's at the end of 1 Samuel. You can always remember 1 Samuel has the anointing of the kings because Samuel's the prophet that anoints the kings. All right. So going back to this. Now we are going to where King Saul pulls David up in front of him and says, and gets Abner, I think is the general. He gets Abner to bring King David before him, even though King David's been playing music for him. He didn't really understand like what's going on. And he's like, whose son is this? Like, I need to find out like the family, because at this point, King Saul is bad. Like, he's like, I will wipe out your whole family, or I'll help your whole family, or do whatever it takes to make sure that I stay in power. Because at this point, it's not God's power. It's like Saul's power trying to stay in power. So it's like he's just trying to control the throne, but God's trying to give it to David because he already told Saul that he was going to go find a better king than him out there. So anyway, so David's like, I'm Jesse's son from Bethlehem, the Bethlehemite. And so then King David knows. Well, so then everything goes back kind of to normal, but King Saul has a bad spirit still. So while David's playing, because King Saul knows, they made up a song about King David where it's like, oh, King Saul's killed 10,000, but David's killed 10,000s. And all the women loved King, well, loved David because he was the warrior. He was the conqueror. He was the king. And King Saul, who was the king, didn't like that. And think about being any leader in power at that time, where it'd be like, would you like it if somebody of less stature, when you worked so hard to get up to the top, just came and like usurped you? You know, kind of like Jacob's name in the Bible, usurper. Okay, so, and that's not, that's something that a lot of leaders have to just deal with, you know? So as a leader, you got to know that that's something that might happen. Just like when Emmanuel said that you go to a festival, you take the lowest seat. You don't take the highest seat, because then someone else of higher stature is going to come and say, yo, that's my seat. Get out. Yeah. All right. So back to the story now. So King Saul throws a spear at King David, and King David has to dodge out of the way and take off. And then he's like to Jonathan. I remember the story because there's a lot of stuff that happened. We might have to have part three, honestly. So he's like, why is your dad trying to kill me? And Jonathan's like, I don't think dad's trying to kill you. Like, I'll have to talk to him and find out, you know. But sure enough, dad is trying to kill him, but says that by the living God, nothing will happen to him. Even though in Saul's mind, he's still trying to kill him. He even swore by God that he wouldn't in front of Jonathan because he didn't want to hurt his feelings and he was trying to protect him. That's what everyone wants to think, but that's not the truth when it comes down to being trying to control your power, even though you know God's taking it away. Like, it was just because he was ashamed that he had to give over the throne to David, and there was nothing he could do about it. So he didn't want to explain that all to Jonathan, obviously. So he's like, oh, no. By the living God, nothing will happen to him, you know. And so, and everybody out there, I'm just going to point out, when you make a promise to God, just think about what you're doing. Honestly, just think about it. Don't do it. It's just wiser not to do it than to try. Like, take this from somebody that knows, that has to deal with stuff like that every day. All right. So, yeah, just don't make a marriage promise to someone else if you're just going to break it and you're just going to go astray and aside. Like, there's no point to that marriage if you're going to make that promise. Same with making covenants to God. Just saying. I'm just on that kick right now, so bear with me. All right, back to the story. So Jonathan, now he's like, I don't think dad's trying to kill you. But even after he threw the spear at him, Jonathan still wanted to give his dad the benefit of the doubt. But then Saul has a brilliant plan. He's like, wait a second, I got daughters. Like, I'll just give him one of the daughters, but I know he's broke. So then he won't be able to give me no money, so I'll make him go fight the Philistines and they'll kill him. Simple. So he says, I'll give you Mara, my oldest daughter, to marry. I think it's the oldest daughter. To marry. And David's like, who am I? Because I don't think he even likes Mara, but he also knows that Saul's tricking him. So he's like, who am I that I should get to marry someone? I won't even have any dowry. I don't even have nothing to give you. And then he's like, oh, don't worry about it. All I need is 100 Philistines foreskins. Dead, you know, just avenge my enemies. And David's like, all right, well, that's not that hard. So then he gets his men together and they get him 200, and he comes back, but Saul lets Mara marry someone else, so he doesn't even honor that covenant. So then, but then Michael, the youngest daughter, falls in love with him. So then Saul sees an opportunity to do, well, somehow Saul got the 200 foreskins for Michael, I guess, not for Mara. Okay, so he got the 200 foreskins for Michael. And he allowed him to marry the youngest daughter, but not the oldest one. He gave that one away after promising it to him But then he did marry Michael, and he got 204 skins. But later on in the story, I'm just going to cover this real fast. Something happens, and David ends up split up away from Michael. And then Saul has Michael marry someone else. Yeah. Stupid. But anyways, and David marries two other women. All right, so I'm just getting to that point right now. All right, so then... But then Saul gets angry at David again because he can't figure out a way to take him out. You know, he's just trying, but he can't figure it out. So then he goes and tries to throw a spear at him again, but then has his troops come over to Michael's house and try to take him by force in the morning. And except for Michael, she's like, hey, my dad's got his army down there, and if you don't leave by the morning, then you're going to be dead. And then, so helps him out a window, and he gets out, and then he goes and tells Jonathan all the stuff, and Jonathan's beside himself, so he's like, I'll go talk to my dad, and I'll find out for sure. So then he goes back and talks to his dad. Well, first of all, he says, and I'll tell you what, you stay out here, because he's outside the city now, David. And I'll shoot an arrow, and if the arrow lands and I say, hey, no, come here, the arrow's closer to me, then you know you can come back. But if I say, no, the arrow's way far away to my servant, then you know you better run and run fast, because dad is trying to kill you. So then he finds out that his dad is trying to kill him. Then he shoots the arrows out in the field, and then he tells his servant, yo, go and fetch the arrow and come back. And so the servant goes and fetches the, or tries to find the arrow right before he gets there. He's like, no, the arrow's way farther away. Go. Go farther. Hurry. Get it. And so then David's like, I gotta go. So then he takes off, and then he ends up in a town. But what town is that? I don't remember. I want to say Nob or something is what I recall. But I believe he goes back to Samuel, and he's like, Samuel, like, these guys are trying to kill me. And so the troops follow him into that area, Merib, maybe. I want to say Merib now. Jeez, recalling all these names when you haven't visited the places, it's fairly difficult. All right, so they get to the Merib, and there's a well at Shechem or something like that. And the thing is that everyone down there is prophesying, so they're all, like, speaking about things and not in their right minds, I would say. They weren't in their right minds, that's what I would say. But they were prophesying about everything going on in the world and about future events. I don't know exactly what they were prophesying. I'm just trying to explain the conditions down by the well. Right? They was drinking something. Alright. So then when the soldiers got there, they began prophesying too. And so then Saul had to send other soldiers. I guess those other ones went back. I don't think he really said. And then Saul had to send other soldiers, and then they went, and then they started prophesying. And then finally, Saul went, and then he began prophesying, and then he ended up going back home. And David was still there with Samuel. And I want to say sometime during this time, Samuel dies or passes away, or something happens to Samuel. To the point that even though later on, we'll get to it, but we might not cover it next time because I'll forget. But later on, Saul consorts a medium person that he banned all those people from the country, but he was so distraught about what was going on with David and how David was getting away from every plot and plan that Saul had that he had to go consult a medium. And he's like, I need you to bring back Samuel so I can talk to Samuel right now. And it says in the it's not the book of Moses, but it says the medium was able to pull up Samuel, and Samuel was kind of mad, but he told him, like, you're going to be in the same place I'm at in just a few minutes because something bad, I think he said something bad is going to happen to him, but he's basically saying, hey, That's the end of our show. You have a great day. God bless.
Your presence is all I see.